Olá.
Zdenka Fantlová is a truly remarkable woman. Now in her 80s, this charming lady is still busy traveling and lecturing about her life experience. Meeting her, you would never guess that she's been through hell. Coming from a Czech Jewish family, at the age of 18, she was transported to the Terezín concentration camp in Bohemia. Other camps followed: Auschwitz, Gross Rosen, and Mauthausen. She was finally liberated from Bergen-Belsen, only to find out that none of her family members had survived the Holocaust. In this, the first part of our interview with Zdenka Fantlová, she recalls what followed immediately after the Second World War broke out.
Well, it all started with the German occupation, of course, and it came overnight as a shock, because none of us in the Czech Republic expected what followed. In front of us was darkness. Of course, we had no idea what will happen. And it developed day by day. New laws, new restrictions, expelling from school, and so on and so on, and transports.
How old were you at that time?
I was 18 at that time. I was in the gymnasium, or what would you call it?
High school.
I was evicted, and my schoolmate said, "Oh, this is a nonsense, you will see, they will change their mind." Well, it was a nonsense, and they didn't change their mind, and I was out. And what happened, because I was young and I didn't want to sit at home and darn my socks, as my mother wanted to, I entered the English Institute here in Prague for a year. There was British Council, simply because I have heard Fred Astaire singing a song from an American musical, Broadway melody, "You Are My Lucky Star." And I was so fascinated that I thought, I'll have to learn this language. I was learning the song word by word, had no idea what I was singing, and that saved my life. Little did I know that 5 years later, in Bergen-Belsen, I'll be able to communicate in English with a member of the British Army who saved my life in the nick of time, the last minute before my death. So you see, there are little things in life which determine. I sort of feel that we have a blueprint. We walk on a blueprint. Maybe we think we have a free will. Maybe we have. But somehow I feel, you know, it's like skiing a slalom from stick to stick, and you decide, I'm not going to do this stick, but it doesn't matter. You have the start and you have the finish, and that's fate. Nobody will talk me out of it.
But first of all, you went to Terezín, is that right?
Yes, we went to Terezín, which wasn't frightening. It was still on our territory. There were Czech gendarmes. The language was Czech. And we had no idea what was going on. Of course, nobody knew what is ahead of us. And because there was such a concentration of talent and the Czech culture, which has been brought in from pre-war into Terezín in music and theater and so on, I joined a theater, and it was the happiest time of my life. I would have never ever had a chance not only to meet these talented people but also work with them. So the 2.5 years in Terezín sort of passed almost happily, I'm sorry to say that, because we did not expect and didn't know what was happening. The Germans knew what was ahead of us, and that we were actually sentenced to death. And they thought, oh, well, let them sing and play, and the smile will soon be wiped off their faces, which it was, sorry to say. And so we were happily sort of dancing under the gallows, carrying on, because we thought, no, soon the war will have to finish and we'll go home. But it didn't. Instead of that, we went to Auschwitz, and that was a shock, because that you suddenly landed in a place which was unreal. You were not prepared for that. You had no idea what this place is, where are you, what's in store for you. It was unreal, absolutely unreal. And from then on, your survival depends on your instinct. You do things in your immediate vicinity. You have no wish to see, you know, the whole sort of history in front of you and what's happening. No. You have an invisible circle around your feet where you look where to step, where are the guards, where is water, where is the next ration of bread, and that's all you care about. That's all you care. So that everything is minimalized in your favor. And you follow what happens. I do a lot of lectures in German schools, and they always ask me, how did you survive? Well, it's not a simple recipe. It's a very complicated and complex process. First of all, you have to be lucky that they don't push you into gas chambers, because then it doesn't help whether you're brave or not. Secondly, you have to be young, preferably, rather than old, healthy rather than sick, and preferably not married but in love. And that's what I was. And love is such a power that we have no idea how much strength we can draw from it, because you want to survive for him, to be together again. And there is nothing in your way. You will survive, you will overcome whatever happens. And these are the secret things. That's why, you know, I feel that we humans don't even know who we are, what's in us, what kind of power we have, because it's never put to a test. We are not tested until it happens, until there is a crisis, and then it shows. What are you capable of? And that's it. This I have recognized only after the war, that the inmates in the camps were really divided only into two groups. Those who felt like victims, and if you feel like a victim, you become a victim. And you react like a victim. And it takes all your strength away. And you might even die as a victim. Even if you survive as a victim, you're not happy, because you feel that you have lost and you have suffered. And, you know, it's a negative kind of attitude. The other half, or not half, small part, mostly artists, they are observers. I was an observer. I wasn't a victim. It had absolutely nothing to do with me. You know, it was all around me. Sort of, where am I? And here is a barbed wire, and here are the dogs, and what's that for? And me? No. So it didn't weaken me. And that cannot be bought. That's why I'm saying we have something in us, inside, which I call a survival kit. Survival kit, which we never use, because we have no need for it. And in the survival kit is something what I call not the first help, but the last help. And these are not medications or bandages, these are orders. That voice in that survival kit tells you what to do, and you do it. You don't think. It doesn't come from your intellect, from your brain. You just act instinctively. And either you are survivor or not.
In the second part of the interview next week, Zdenka Fantlová will be talking about the power of love that can overcome death.